The first Monday of the month, we always have a segment on Ames City Council. And usually Bronwyn Beattie Hansen comes in to fill us in on what is happening there. But this month, we decided to do something a little different. So we invited Devin Leeson, who is the newly appointed ex officio ISU student city council member. Did I get that all right, Devin?
Yep, that's the gist of it.
That's your title. Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
So let's start. I'm going to ask you to tell us a bit about yourself. Where are you from and what are you studying at ISU?
Yep. So I am from Winterset, Iowa, which is about an hour and 15 minutes or so away from Ames. And I came here originally for physics, realized very quickly, maybe that's not for me. It wasn't grades or anything. It just wasn't interesting. And so I moved on to public relations and, political science, instead for my majors, because, you know, I really liked talking. In high school, I liked politics and I was on the debate team, and I just thought that, you know, if I enjoy communicating with people, then maybe this is the path that I should, go down. And so I've been doing that for the last, year and a half, or last three semesters rather. And, you know, I'm going to be a junior next year, and I'm pretty excited to be working with the city council to try and work towards solutions that people could possibly get through my help and get student solutions on certain issues.
So how did you obtain this position as the student representative on council? Was there an application process, or how did that happen?
Right. So it starts with every single year there's a newly appointed president of the student body, and they hold different cabinet positions. And so I had to apply through their application process. And that interview consisted of the president and vice president of the student body, and just talking with them on what my plans were, what I wanted to see from my position on a council, and how I would see myself moving forward in that, and how I would work with what I had for whatever solutions I wanted.
Okay. And it's a one-year term, and
right.
You're not a voting member.
Nope.
So what do you see as your role?
I see it as really just representing the student voice. Certainly, there's a lot of voices for residents of Ames on the council. You know, all of the people on the council live here, but they're representing really residents. And so there isn't as much of a voice or perspective that is coming directly from students. I mean, you have professors, but you don't have the voice of how does this affect, you know, half of the city, you know, some 35,000 people every single year. And so my job then is to impart what I hear from students, what I believe to be the issues that they're seeing, and if there's policy that's moving forward without much resistance, and there should be based on student perspective, then it should be my position to then put voices forward against that. And if there's something that's good that needs more light or needs to be done, then it's my job to say, hey, this is something that we should work toward.
What are some of those issues that you think students are concerned with and on which you want to provide a student voice?
Yeah, so there are a few key areas where I think my voice would be particularly helpful. Two personal issues for me are student housing. I really want to come forward with ways that we can help alleviate some of the tenant troubles that students have in Ames. What that looks like, I'm not entirely sure yet, but I know that's a huge issue for students. Second is campus town safety. There's been lots of stuff in the past, but I still think there's a lot of work that can be done, particularly in campus town and with pedestrian versus vehicular walkways when it comes to getting to campus and moving through campus town in particular. And then also providing voice on the comprehensive plan that the city is working towards for Ames Plan 2040. I think that making sure to have a strong voice on what students would like to see from the city over the next 20 years is vitally important in making sure that that plan and that direction that the city is going to be going is strong, and making sure that the council realizes what students want in that.
So these are issues that the council, to some degree, has been dealing with already.
Right.
I know housing and mm-hmm. the plan that you mentioned. But your goal is to bring a student perspective to that.
Yeah, I think that's something that's been lacking, to be quite honest, in previous years. And that's not to the fault of other ex officios. I think part of it has to do with the focus of counsel. Part of it has to do with there not being as much voice and opinion on the council from students. And so just bringing that is kind of the key part of my position.
And how do you plan to be able to represent students? In other words, how do you plan to get perspectives and suggestions or feedback from students so that you know what to represent to council, what to bring forward to council?
There's a few ways, right? There's my own interaction. It's like the weakest form of it. Getting out to students is speaking to them directly. We also have something that the student body president had talked about in their campaign, which was doing reverse town halls. And a big part of that is going, instead of having people come to you, it's going to their clubs and asking them, okay, so here are some things that are happening. What are your thoughts on that? What do you want to see student government's impact on this? And the last way is I'm taking diligent notes at these meetings. And that's a skill that I learned over the last year and a half doing student journalism. But what I do with those notes is impart that to the other members of student government, the student body, and help them better understand what's going on in the city, and so they can provide their voices on it. So talking to the student senate is a big part of that, right? It's speaking and getting their voices, because they are supposed to be representing all of the student body and the different constituencies that they hold. So if I can get their opinion on these things, it's a lot easier to do than polling 35,000 people individually, talking to the 20 to 30 people that are in the student senate. Is a good way of getting and hopefully representing what students want.
Mm-hmm. So working closely with student government will be an important part as well.
Yep.
You were a reporter, I understand, and editor, I think, for the ISU Daily. Is that right?
Yeah. Started off as a reporter, then went to be a news editor, politics editor, and then finally a managing editor overseeing the print product.
And am I correct when I looked for some information on online? It seemed like you covered city council meetings in the past, so you know how council works, and you know that city council meets every 2 weeks. The meetings often run very late. In other words, it's a big commitment for a student in particular. Why did you want to take on that commitment, that level of commitment and responsibility? What appeals to you about that?
You sort of said the answer within your question, which was I've done the time, I've gone to the meetings already, and that was a big commitment then. But at the same time, back then, I was also writing three stories a week on top of going to all the meetings and speaking with people on the beat, and so the time commitment wasn't really a big issue, but rather my knowledge that I had gained in my time working and covering city council made me feel like, hey, this is something that I'd probably be good at. It's something that I will probably be able to impart the student voice. And so in that sort of sense, it was, I think I have the experience and I really want to help impact the student body. And so I think moving from journalism to this was the next step, really.
And now someone else from the ISU Daily will have to cover the council meetings, right?
Right, yeah.
You can't cover them and be on council as well. Have you always been interested in politics? You kind of mentioned in the beginning that you originally thought you would study physics. So where did this interest in politics come from?
A lot of it was I was raised in sort of a very vocal family. Of a different political nature than me, so our opinions always were different, and so that coupled with my experience in high school, I was a part of the debate club, and I had a lot of fun with that, and it really got me interested in politics as kind of a kickoff point. And then from there, I saw a lot of the issues that are facing the United States as well as local communities, and I said, you know, I have a lot of opinions, I have a lot of what I think are good opinions, I'd like to impart that, and I'd like to make change in a positive way. And so my political experience, my aptness to, and my love really for just public speaking in general, has really, really kind of pushed me toward wanting to pursue something political.
Is that something that you hope to pursue after you graduate?
Yeah, I want to do something akin to cause lobbying on a few key issues of mine, whether it's climate change or, you know, unions and labor rights. But those are kind of my two personal issues that I really are appreciative of and take a lot of, I guess, a lot of time looking into and making sure that I know a lot on, because I feel very strongly about those two issues. But if it doesn't end up being cause lobbying, it's going to probably be something with the Democratic Party or something. But right now, I'm really a nonpartisan actor.
When I think back to my days in college, I would not have been confident enough to speak to city council members or to speak in a public forum like that that's also recorded and broadcast. But you feel comfortable doing that, that you'll be able to speak to power, so to speak?
Yeah. The first two meetings, I spoke a decent amount, and even in a contrarian way that wasn't really going with the flow of things, you know, kind of against the grain in a couple spots. So I think that I have the confidence to do that, and the steadfastness, I guess, to not buckle under like an implicit type of like silencing of like, you know, hey, don't speak on this. You know, I think that I definitely bring to the table a voice that won't falter if I think there's something that's amiss.
We've had a number of stories on here about some of the particular issues that students mm-hmm. face around housing that you mentioned. We've had people from the Ames Tenants Union mm-hmm. on a week or two ago. Can you talk a little more specifically about what you think are some of the key issues and mm-hmm. problems that students face around housing in Ames?
Yeah, there are a few, right? A lot of different apartment complexes. They advertise one thing and doing a completely contrary thing, right? And so you'll have people who complain to the city about a certain unit that isn't, let's say, taking in a maintenance request. Now, that's typically solved, but there are some areas where they can't be solved, right? So the city doesn't actually have any language that classifies mold or things like mold as a dangerous habitat for people to be living in. And so you have situations where people have potentially hazardous living spaces that the city can't enforce at all, or say, hey, we got to fix this. And so there's also issues with, like I was saying earlier, almost like a false advertising in what your rates are going to end up being mm-hmm. with you when it comes to utilities. Certain apartment complexes have outdoor air and cooling units, and so your utilities are extremely inefficient. And so while you have the cheapest rent in Ames and they advertise it as such, you have utilities that are spiking into $200+ a month. And so they're... I would, in an ideal situation, have a rental cap, not in the rental cap that the council typically thinks, but in terms of pricing, in fair pricing, and making sure that they advertise that pricing correctly. I think there's a lot of areas when it comes to safety, when it comes to pricing, when it comes to fairness to students, because students are more often than not taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. And I think that housing is probably the number one place that actually occurs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had a number of students and groups on here talking about some pretty negative experiences that mm-hmm. that they've had. There are also problems with the lease. I don't know
right.
if that's something mm-hmm. you've looked into. Is there anything that you can bring before the city council that they might be able to do with that?
You know, when it comes to the lease, it's really a lot of legal stuff that, you know, I would say, well, there's some changes that should be made when it comes to clarity in a lease and making sure that leases are kind of standardized in the sense of what you're agreeing to, so people, at least the common person, can understand that. Then again, you can't mandate that. Or at least legally, you can't do that in a lot of ways. And so there are certain issues where I wish you could legally make a difference and make changes to. For example, there's some differences in certain leases that treat their rent as installments rather than typical rent. And so it's treated differently under the law, almost as providing a service rather than providing rent. And so in that sense, they can get away with doing some things that landlords typically would be required under the law to do. And so obviously that's a part of the lease and something that I would want to work toward fixing. And sorry if I explained that kind of poorly. I'm not a lawyer, but you know, I think that that's a place where I wish the council could make action, but I'm not sure could. And it's something that I'm going to try and explore with maybe the city attorney or you know, student legal services, or try and figure out what can actually be done.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So let me switch gears a little bit. While you were on the ISU Daily, you covered many stories. Is there one story that you recall as being particularly interesting or memorable?
Yeah. So I think over my time, I wrote about 200, 220 thereabout stories. And if there's one that I have to pick, it's definitely one that I covered on student government. And so student government had wrote a bill that was endorsing a specific piece of legislation on the state level. And it was their resolution was tied to this bill that I had covered, actually. It was one of my first stories I ever wrote at the Daily that was going through the first session that I was a reporter. And that bill was tied to student free speech. But on the end, kind of hidden in there, there was this piece that said, oh, and student groups will now be able to create requirements for leadership that would exclude, you know, people of the LGBT community if they had wanted to. And people in student government voted to pass that resolution or to endorse the bill, essentially, and they didn't know and didn't realize that the bill was potentially and really was exclusionary and discriminatory and would bring the university potentially into legal trouble. Well, I called up almost every single member of student government and asked, did you know this was a part of the bill? And almost every single one said, no, I didn't, when I endorsed this legislative bill. And so that led to change in a sense that they, within two meetings, then reversed their decision, and it created a discussion on, okay, when we endorse something, we really have to read through every single piece of it and make sure that we are correctly endorsing and saying what's happening. Now, eventually that bill did end up passing on the state level. And I don't think that the student government had any impact on whether it did or did not pass. But I think that it called into question the methods through which student government acts and made them be a little bit more cautious and a little bit more aware of the things that they're doing.
That's a very interesting story. Yeah. So that's one where your journalistic skills and also using the information you became aware of and making other people aware of that really had an impact. So seems like you'll keep doing that kind of thing
when you're on
council.
Yeah.
That's great. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Devin, for coming in today. Mm-hmm. And we wish you luck and force, power, as you start being on council.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate the opportunity.
I've been speaking with Devin Leeson, the new ISU student city council member.